You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we get to catch up with artist and author Flame to chat about his newest book, Because Jesus Taught It. And we have some young co-hosts joining us this morning as well. We have students from the Quest program at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School in Eureka, Missouri. Good morning, Quest.
Good morning. Good morning.
We are looking forward to chatting with Flame in just a moment. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, Flame, Grammy-nominated and Stellar Award-winning rap artist and author of Extra Nos, Discovering Grace Outside Myself, and his newest book, Because Jesus Taught It, Christianity Through the Eyes of the Church Fathers, from Concordia Publishing House. Flame, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes.
We are excited to have this chance to talk about your new book. I think last time we chatted, we were at the LCMS Youth Gathering, which was a busy event.
Just a little bit.
Hanging out with 20,000 friends and some of us got to enjoy a great concert there as well with your aftermath event concert. That was a lot of fun as well.
Fun. Yeah.
It was quite loud too.
Yeah. Indeed. So much excitement.
It was a lot of fun. All right. So we've been working on reading Because Jesus Taught It. And some of the students in the Quest program at St. Mark's have also been working on reading portions of it as well. So we all have some questions. So we're going to hand the mic over to them once in a while to ask some of their questions. So first up, where did the idea for Because Jesus Taught It begin?
Well, so firstly, the song, The Patristics, which is a song that I produced on my project Word and Water. It's talking about the early church fathers and some even after that, you know, first 3 to 5 centuries. So just kind of celebrating them, certain personalities and those who helped us understand baptism better. And there's a line in a song that says, because Jesus taught it. So after listing a bunch of names, I finally land the plane by saying, ultimately, Jesus taught these ideas. So Concordia Publishing House reached out to me and said, man, Flame, I think we could turn this song into a book. It's an important topic, and I think you would be great to handle this topic. And by the way, we have a title that we think would be great. And I was like, okay, I'm down to hear the pitch. And they said, because Jesus taught it. I said, genius, let's go with it. Yes.
That is fantastic. Now, you mentioned the church fathers. You really enjoy the church fathers, it sounds like. Who are they? Why do you study what they taught?
Yes, indeed. So there was a time where I did not know who the church fathers were. I hadn't heard that term before. I didn't know that these humans existed or that they had a category or a title. But what I came to learn was, so you have the prophets and the apostles, the gentleman that the Holy Spirit inspired to write his word. And then you have those that the apostles actually taught, because the apostles learned from Jesus, right? They walk with Jesus and then they learn from him. And then after they went to mature and grow older, they handed the faith, the things that Jesus taught them, over to people that would carry Christianity on after them. So you just have a collection of people who wrote right after the apostles did. So those, you know, maybe first 5 maybe, after the New Testament was written, we call those the patristics, those early church fathers. And you best believe there were great church mothers in the mix as well, who also understood Christianity and trained their children in the faith as well. So yeah, really cool to think about that.
So who were some of the church fathers that you've been reading or that you've read in your studies? And why did you choose those?
Yes. So there are many. And for me, the people that I chose to hone in on were those who wrote more particularly about baptism and the Lord's Supper. So I really found a connection with people like Irenaeus, people like Cyprian of Carthage. Then you have, you know, just these early guys. Polycarp is another popular name. Ignatius is another popular personality. And there's this one guy who I let in the room. He's not an actual church father, but he's an early church writer, and his name is Tertullian. And I think he has a lot of helpful things to say in regards to those two topics as well. So those are just a few of the names that really helped me to better understand God's grace and what he gives us through baptism and the Lord's Supper.
Mm-hmm. So why baptism and Lord's Supper? I know we're going to ask you a few questions about your journey into Lutheranism, because I know that plays a part in a lot of this too. But why baptism and Lord's Supper? Why focus in on those things, particularly when you're looking at the Church Fathers?
Yeah. So for me, learning better about what baptism is, what the Lord's Supper is, was just learning more about God's love for us, learning more about God's grace, his kindness, his patience, and how he brings good gifts to us. So I always understood baptism to be something that we give to God, but I learned better that baptism is a gift that God gives to us, where he washes away our sins. He gives us a good conscience, or a clean way of understanding ourselves based upon what Jesus accomplished, and as well as the Lord's Supper, the same thing. It's another expression of God's grace, another way he hugs us, he holds us, he gives us his kindness and lets us know we are his sons, we are his daughters. And for me, that was just the complete opposite of how I learned those two things. So it just expands or makes bigger my understanding of God, his love for us, his care for us, and how he freely sends us out into the world to love others. So I really honed in on those two concepts because they impacted me the most. For sure.
You mentioned that you at one time believed that baptism was something that we did for God. And now you see it as a gift from God. You've had quite the journey through denominations, traditions, and confessions. How has your journey through various denominations and traditions and confessions, how has that contributed to where you are today, what you believe and confess today?
You know, it's been a fun journey. It's been a roller coaster ride. I like a good roller coaster. But nonetheless, I will say one of the good things is I've seen God show up in places that, may or may not be, the best way to talk about Christianity, but there are good things there. So God is there because there are good things that have been protected there. Things like God being a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Things like God sending his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, who is fully man and fully God. So in all of these different camps, there were basic foundational things that were there that are good, that are biblical from the Bible. So in that way, I was, able to gain much. But then there were also missing things in each one of these pit stops. And ultimately, in each one of these stops along the way, what I come to realize is that each particular, weakness all leads back to us trying to demonstrate to God how serious we are, how much we love him, how good we are. And those things, they have their place. But when you're trusting in your own way, your own passion, your own desires, your own good works, you realize they aren't that good, and you can't do good all the time in the way that God is looking for. So for me, that was the through line. That was the connection point that kept leading me to sadness. And it wasn't until God exposed me to the original version of Christianity that I discovered in, confessional Lutheran thought, that also pointed me to these church fathers that we're talking about. So just a beautiful time of learning and trusting God along the way.
Absolutely. How does, because Jesus taught it, share those stories? How do you explain those things to people? Because these stories can be, very personal, but also the church fathers aren't exactly like easy reading, light reading. So how do you bring people along and share those stories, your personal stories, in because Jesus taught it?
Yeah, that's a great question, because when I approached the book, one of my goals was exactly what you said. I was like, man, sometimes it's hard to get in the, the mindset of these ancient writings. It's difficult to find a connection between what they were going through and what we go through, between their world and our world. And so for me, that was part of my duty, was to find those places of connection. So when I thought about my own story and my own experiences, I would find similar ones with certain church fathers. For example, I wrote about a gentleman by the name of Cyprian, who's from a city called Carthage, which is in North Africa. And so I thought that was really cool. But then also, he had an experience where he had to write a letter and help people think better about baptism. And I said, man, that's very relatable because I like to write music and help, you know, people think better about Christianity. So right there was a connection point. But then I saw how he wrote the letter with kindness. He used a lot of Bible scripture and he helped people to really slow down and to see what God says about baptism and how we ought to protect it, how we ought to think about God's church as the place that God gives his gifts to the world. So it's through his church that he brings people into the faith through baptism. So I said, man, I could really relate to that. So I just started to fill the book with personal stories that matched other stories from those church fathers. And in that way, I think it sort of bridged the two time periods together. At least I hope.
So we all agree that reading the church fathers can be challenging. What do you, what was most challenging for you as you were reading the writings of the church fathers?
Woo, man, I would say it's a lot, but I would say mostly the most difficult part is understanding their world and the issues that they were dealing with. Because typically in today's times, we really value, you know, what this means to me. What do I get from this? And that's an important question. But before you ask that question, it's always good to understand, especially when you're reading something, what was the author thinking? What was the author dealing with? What was the situation that he or she was addressing? So that was probably the most difficult part, was to, you know, sort of fully emerge or submerge myself in their culture, their world, the particular problems that they were, you know, addressing and writing about, and getting a good understanding of that to make sure that it matches the thing that I'm experiencing so that I can actually make the point. So that was probably the most difficult point, was going back into time. It's like going through a time machine and figuring out the language, the culture, the problems, all those kind of things were important. So yeah, that was where the heavy lifting was moving back in time.
Yeah, that can be a really interesting experience when we read things that happened a really, really long time ago and we're reading them through our lens of our own Western American culture. And you know, you want to make sure you're reading it faithfully to what they are actually saying, not what maybe we want them to be saying. So yeah, it's very, truly, that was a good point. Yes. What was the most compelling thing as you're reading the church fathers?
I would say really the most compelling thing was there was an agreement among the church fathers related to baptism and the Lord's Supper. So the way we think about baptism now is something that we do to give to God, to show him, look, God, look how strong I am. Look how bold I am to stand in front of people and tell them that I love Jesus. That's the way, you know, we think about baptism in our day and time, for the most part. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And I was really impressed going back in time to see these different church fathers from different parts of the world. So it's not like they all came together to come up with this plan to trick everybody. It's like, no, they were from different parts of the world, but they understood the Bible rightly and they understood it unanimously, which means that they all agreed that baptism is God's gift to us. It's where he makes sheep, Cyprian says. It's where he, you know, washes away our sins. He sets us free and he gives us admittance into eternal life, Tertullian says. So all those things were, you know, different time periods, different parts of the world, but they were all tied together, united, understanding what God actually does in baptism and the Lord's Supper. That was the most impressive, because it's really hard to get humans to agree on any one thing. So that was a great thing to witness even so long ago.
We're chatting with artist and author Flame about his new book, Because Jesus Taught It, Christianity Through the Eyes of the Church Fathers. We'll be back in just a moment with our special co-host from St. Mark's to help us with some more questions for Flame. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
And At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today we're talking with artist and author Flame, taking a look at his book, Because Jesus Taught It, Christianity Through the Eyes of the Church Fathers. And we have some young co-hosts with us today from the Quest program at St. Mark's Lutheran Church and School in Eureka, Missouri. We have students in 3rd through 7th grade, and they have some questions for you today as well, Flame. Some of those students have been working through reading some portions of the book and have some questions about it. Let's dig into the first chapter where you share a story about a conversation you had with a young youth leader. Can you give us a brief synopsis of this story? Because we have a question about that in just a moment.
Yeah. So it was an interesting exchange because I was talking with this guy. He was a youth leader at his church. And, you know, his role was to connect with the youth to make sure that they are learning things about God, but also that they are staying out of trouble, that kind of thing. And he's trying to make sure that they have fun. And that's pretty much his role as a youth leader. And just in casual conversation, talking about scripture, talking about music, Jesus came up, right? And in this conversation, we happened to mention that Jesus is the one who saves us from our sins, and he's the one who gives us eternal life. And at that point in the conversation, everybody's like, amen, that's right, amen. But at this time, the youth leader made a statement where he was talking, just kind of going on and on and on. And he says, some people say Jesus is God. I'm not saying that Jesus is God, but he sort of apologized for it. Like, you know, pardon me, I didn't mean to say that, you know, sort of erased that from the conversation. So I was like, that was interesting. So I tried to help him out. I was like, you mean you're saying Jesus is God, right? He was like, No, I'm not saying that, because he thought he was being offensive. And I was like, no, Jesus is God. He actually is fully man and fully God in one person. And he was like, huh? And I was like, yeah, this is the way the Bible helps us understand who Jesus is. This is the way the church has confessed who Jesus is, going back to those early days of the church. So we continue to, you know, not invent anything new, but to hold on to the thing that is true. So in that exchange, I realized, like, wow, in certain places, these types of ideas are not the most important. Maybe, unfortunately, the most important thing is making sure kids stay out of trouble, making sure that they're having a good time. And that's a good thing. Amen. Those are good things to go after. But if we're going to call ourselves Christians, we also need to understand what Christianity is and who our triune God is and who Jesus Christ is. And that's an important thing to stop, slow down, and think about, for sure.
All right. Oscar has a question about that story.
Why did the youth leader say Jesus wasn't God? You're lucky about
it. Yeah, I thank you for asking that question. I would say perhaps he was taught that Jesus was not God, or he wasn't taught that Jesus was both man and God, fully man and fully God. And both ways is, you know, wrong, it's unfortunate. But I will say he was very open to correcting himself. So once he heard the right understanding of who Jesus actually is, he was like, oh, wow, that's very helpful. Thank you for mentioning that. And he began to correct the way he thought about Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So that's even a good lesson to learn, is if you're wrong, you know, you may not know a thing, and that's okay. But once you learn better, it's good to, you know, humbly accept that and to move on. So kudos to him for shifting his understanding and going in the right direction.
All right, we have some more questions. We're going to set some groundwork first. In the book, you share stories about your experiences and theological filters from multiple denominations that you've joined or interacted with. And one of our student co-hosts has a question. Gavin?
So you talk about non-denominational. Is non-denominational bad?
Ooh, that's a great question. So is non-denominationalism bad? I would say basically the idea of trying to make Christianity more simple, I understand what they were going for. I think the goal was, man, there's so much to learn. Let's try to make this easy for people so that it's not that hard. And in that way, I can appreciate that. But what I will say is, unfortunately, sometimes when you're going after making something so simple, if you remove important things, then you're missing out, right? So, you know, if your family wants you to eat food and you say, well, I want to eat cake and ice cream. It's like, well, cake and ice cream is good sometimes, but make sure you eat your meat, your vegetables, and your fruit. So you don't want to just skip over the healthy thing just to get to the sweet thing. And in that way, I would say non-denominationalism tries to, you know, present the sweetness of it all, but they miss out on some of the healthy things. And in that way, you know, it has some good things, but it has some dangerous things to look out for. So that's why it's better to take the things that are both sweet and healthy and present them together. And that's why we're talking about the scriptures, the early church. And in that way, now we get to have fun to show people how the healthy thing is actually good for you and is sweet at the same time.
All right. Now we have some more questions about who you are, maybe some of your favorite things as well. Ava is up first.
What's your favorite Christian song and why do you?
Ooh, my favorite Christian song. Okay, so I didn't catch the tail end of your question. Are you asking about my own song or just
your favorite
period?
Christian song and why is it your favorite? So,
ooh, okay, and why? Wow, let me think. That is.
That They're is asking tricky. Harder questions than we ask.
Yeah, we don't ask hard questions.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, let me think. Wow. My favorite Christian song and why. So I'll go with, pardon me if I pick one of my own songs.
that's I think easier. You're allowed. It's fair game.
Okay. I will say the song, The Patristics, the song that I brought up earlier, is one of my favorite songs because it just helps me to remember who some of these patristics are, who some of these early church fathers are. So in a song, I'm just like, Irenaeus taught it, Athanasius taught it, even Origen taught it, Cyprian the Carthage taught it, and Chrysostom taught it, St. Augustine taught it, the martyr Justin taught it, Hippolytus taught it, Basil the Great taught it, the Didache taught it, Nicene Creed taught it, and Ambrose, yeah, he taught it, and Jerome taught it, Cyril of Jerusalem taught it, Paul and Peter taught it, because Jesus taught it. So that's like a fun song to rap, to sing, and it helps me to commit those things to memory. So I think that's my favorite song, and that's why, because it helps me to learn and to have fun at the same time.
Kids didn't know you were going to get a little mini concert there, did you?
Right.
I only hear those church fathers in your voice now, so thank you for that. All right, we have another question. Izzy, what's your question?
Why did you choose to be a Christian rapper?
Ooh, why did I choose to be a Christian rapper? You know, so I always appreciated music growing up. I always really enjoyed just the art form of poetry and rhyming words, but also to be able to say a lot in a short period of time. So for me, as a kid, I enjoyed that style of music, and I thought it would be fun to try and to see if I was good at it. And a few people around me was like, man, I think this is really good. You should continue to practice. So I did that, and it just really gave me an opportunity to not be so nervous to be in front of people, because I don't have any brothers or sisters by blood. I'm the only child. Now, you all are my friends and my brothers and sisters in Christ, so thank you for being that. But my parents only had me. And in that way, I grew up as kind of like a shy kid, nervous to be in front of people. But music and rap music, Christian rap music particularly, gave me the confidence and the boldness to, just sort of be myself in front of people, to practice memorizing scripture and things about the Bible and church history, so I can also help people learn. I can remember things myself. And yeah, it was one of those things that was just helpful for myself and others. So yeah, I just decided to keep practicing it. And here I am. Thank you for asking that too. Yes.
Corbin is up next. Corbin, what's your question?
How did you come up with your stage name?
How did I come up with my stage name? So it's interesting. I remember around 16 years old, I was learning to, you know, think more deeply about my own Christian faith. So I was reading the Bible more. I was like, okay, I'm gonna start at the first page and go to the last page. So I was doing that. And then I learned about this guy named Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a person who had the responsibility of saying what God told him to say. So if God said it and told it to him, God wanted him to tell other people. And sometimes he would say things and people would be like, that's weird. Why are you saying that? We don't like it. And he said it enough where it got him in trouble. And because he was doing what God told him to do. And some people didn't quite appreciate that. So he said something. He said, man, God, he says, I don't want to make mention of your name anymore. It's hard. People don't like it all the time. He says, but your word is like a fire shot up in my bones. And when I heard that, it just sounded like my personality, just this passion, this joy, this responsibility to speak what God has told us to say, to speak back to people God's word. And in that way, I said, I can really relate to that passion to share God's word. So I named myself Flame.
Fantastic. All right, we have one more question. Ben, what's your question?
When did you start learning books?
Now, it's funny because as a kid, I would just write books. I would write just, you know, funny stories. They would probably be like 5 pages long, like super easy stuff, but it was just fun. And I would like, you know, draw the characters in a book and then kind of shade them in, color them in. So that was fun. So I tried my hand at it as a kid. But as I grew up, I was like, man, maybe I should get back to that book writing thing because I do like to read. I do like to learn. So let me see if I can actually write something that'll be more helpful. And so I would say I took it seriously maybe around 2010. So, yeah. So I guess that's what, 15 years. So is that a long time for you guys?
Oh my goodness, that was 15 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's older than them.
Yup.
So, you know, oh. There you go.
So a couple of books out now, Because Jesus Taught It, great book. What's next? What's next on the agenda, Flame?
Woo! You know what? I definitely want to continue to write. That's something that I think is really helpful because for people that may not listen to my music or rap music in general, they may still want to learn these things. So I think it's good for me to keep writing books in that way. Maybe even a children's book. Maybe I'll try my hand at that. That'll be fun. Kind of get back to my old love for drawing characters and, you know, telling fun stories while also teaching. So that's coming down the pike. Also, I'm working on more music, so I'm super excited. I have a big announcement that I'll be releasing really soon because there are more people that are doing what I'm doing, and I kind of want to give them a highlight and let people know it's not just me doing confessional Lutheran rap. There are others. So stay tuned for that announcement. But yeah, I'm just having fun. Also, I'll be, you know, back in school in January. So the PhD program, woohoo! So that'll be fun as well. And yeah, just enjoying life, enjoying wifey. And yeah, good things.
How exciting. Well, a great book, Because Jesus Taught It, Christianity Through the Eyes of the Church Fathers from CPH. You can get it anywhere you get books. Great book. We've enjoyed reading it. I know the students have enjoyed reading it as well. I want to say thanks to our guest co-host from St. Mark's, the Quest program today. Thank you so much, co-host, for joining us. Flame, Grammy nominated and Stellar Award winning rap artist and author of Extra Nos, Discovering Grace Outside Myself, and the newest book, Because Jesus Taught It, Christianity Through the Eyes of the Church Fathers. Flame, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Yes, indeed. Thank you all for having me. This was fun. Had a great time hanging out with everybody. And yes, thank you. Thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Gulseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.